This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. Just realizing my windows are open. The number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Sort of a creative lie there, because Arthur is currently on the walk with his dog walker, with my assistant, I'll say as a joke, but really, a person I overpaid to walk my dog for a half hour. Also joining me in High Mighty Studios, known this dude for a long time, since the days of multiple kidneys. Is that probably 27 kidneys?
27 kidneys was the team. Yeah. I wasn't on that.
No, you weren't on that
I
one.
I was
on
Eye Badger.
Eye Badger, forgive me.
I mean, get it right. The history of UCB Maud, you dumbass.
I've known him since Maud was incepted. He's in LA now, and he's on this podcast because we have something in common, which you'll hear very shortly. Jeff Garlock, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
That intro really blows up my hearing aids.
Yeah, that intro does a lot to me as well. Yeah, don't worry.
Sure.
In the middle of it, I was like, my poor neighbors. I realized my door.
Well, they've got basically used to it, I'm sure.
Yeah, more or less. My barber used to be my upstairs neighbor, and he was just like, hey, so what do you do downstairs? And I'm like, hard to explain, man. Yeah.
Just making a living, man.
Yeah. I can't even articulate to my mom what it is I do. I'm not going to explain it to you, man.
One day I'll have to explain it to my son, and that'll be a confusing answer to a confusing question.
That terrifying thing that someday I'll have a kid who's going to be like, hey, did you know your dad has over 1,000 hours of recorded audio? You can hear him just sounding like an asshole scumbag full time.
More grist for the fire for them. Right, be perfect. Yeah.
Just play it for your therapist. Yep.
It's going to save us money. It just goes straight to what my dad's been doing.
Yeah. My dad was a distant, not around too much dad. At least my son, if I'm one of those deadbeat dads.
I would love to have a record of my dad's deadbeatness.
Yeah.
I mean, I can explain it of just like owned his own business and was a high school football coach, but you know,
no
it's
more.
A good shorthand. Doesn't get into the deep depths of my neuroses.
Shit, he's like a 90s drama dad.
He totally is. It's a nice good summary. Let's add alcoholic on there.
Yeah, yeah. That was a given. Yeah. That I got.
Didn't have to explain that one. Yeah. He's sober. Get out of here. Crazy.
Well, today's Halloween. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, man.
And that's a big holiday for metalhead and horrorheads like yourself.
You got that right. It's my dream. Although I hate most aspects of actually Halloween, which is the crazy part. I don't like haunted houses.
You don't like candy.
I hate candy. I actually think candy doesn't taste as good anymore. It's
that's
a big
true.
Bummer. I don't like the smell of latex from latex masks. So
you're not a costumes guy.
No, I hate. Yeah, I hate dressing up. I despise it, even though I own. Spoiler, five Carpenter masks that I have displayed in my house like a monster.
I won't wear them. But.
No, I just look at them, and I bought those like heads that you put wigs on so that I could display them. So when my mother-in-law stays over, she's freaked the fuck out.
That's so your baby's like, that's the room with the heads in it.
He's just used to it. He thinks they're funny. I'm learning him well.
It's like, I love Dario Argento.
Yeah, good work, son. Yeah,
I love you, boy.
Dude, first of all, that's very weird. I would assumed you were like I am a Halloween head. I like dressing up. I hate like having to plan a costume. I'm lazy.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But I do like haunted events and I like haunted houses and mazes. I'm not easily scared.
That's the problem. I get stressed because I can see them working so hard.
Yeah. I've learned that with the power of marijuana, I could almost get myself to the point where I start to find that shit scary.
That's it. Screwed. Still completely sober, so I got nothing. So instead, it's like the dude jumps out too early or too late. I'm like, feel bad. I'm like, sorry, man, next time. Which happens all the time.
If you're stuck on the downbeat in a haunted house and you're all exclusively seeing people running back towards a hall, yeah. It's very upset.
Ooh, like,
that was an hour wait, and now I'm catching everyone at the tail. Like, I'm catching the part in the porn where everyone's putting their pants back
exactly.
on.
And I don't like the moment when it's like they remember the boss was like, don't touch them.
Right, right.
So they like, do that like, ooh, yeah, blah, 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 like yeah. In your face. I'm like, I get it, man. I can't just go for the ride.
Have you Have you enjoyed Halloween vicariously through your son, like dressing him up and like getting a walk around?
Yeah, I mean,
around?
This is the first year he's going to trick or treat, so I'm psyched on that.
Oh, that's cool.
Every hour he changes his costume. he's like vampire, skeleton, princess, pumpkin. I'm a princess. I'm going to be the pumpkin. It changes around. And then every day is just
like $40,000 a year costume budget.
Well, he found some $45 train costume. I was like, maybe something else, son. Daddy's still trying to find some work.
But an orange sweatshirt.
Yeah, exactly. But he loves finding spookies. He likes going to walk around the neighborhood and look for spookies.
Like a spooky type situation or Halloween decorations?
He wants Halloween decorations.
Oh, cool.
So like last night was a long walk in my neighborhood, but it was like, I like this. Don't like this. Don't like. But he's also like, every time I pick him up from daycare, it's like dragons, two dragons. I want two dragons because he knows there are two dragons I could drive by if I go far out of our way. So I'm enjoying it, kind of.
Yeah, he already has like hyper specific taste. He's like, I don't like this guy.
That's
like,
yeah.
You've got yourself a little horror film.
And I'm sitting there like explaining it. I was just like, well, I can't promise you two, but we'll work. I get it. You're specific. Like, I'm a pain in the ass too. It's great. You're my son.
I appreciate the specifics.
Yeah, I'm
going to be
it.
Hard to pull off. Let's get one dragon and call it a night.
Yeah, I can't promise the one that blows up. I know the one on the roof is going to be there. I know I'm bound to disappoint you, so let's do this.
Hey, if this is the disappointment you feel from your father, welcome.
Yeah, don't like... let me list off all the things Grampy did. Jesus.
I am, but I was not a horror movie guy growing up.
Right.
I got into it way later, which is... Like, I forget, I was talking to Ben Rogers this weekend. I was like, I think I've seen the Freddy and Jason movies all once each. Like,
oh,
if,
really?
If I've seen them all, and I probably have missed one or two, except for Dream Warriors, which I've seen multiple times.
Dream Warriors is the best.
Yeah, that is my favorite.
If I'm going to watch a pedophile kill people, it should be Dream Warriors.
Man, yeah, that was a weird tagline for the movie when it came out.
I know. I was like, I guess you could go with that marketing, but it worked. Patricia Arquette, there you go.
The magnificent charisma of Freddy Krueger is insane that you're like laughing and enjoying him calling teenage girls a bitch when
the
you know that he's a
job-luster. Yeah. Bitch. Like, as you get old, it's just like, yeah. And that ends up being why, like, I've seen all these so many times, but it's like Jason, I have the... Freddy, I got the most issues with. Jason, the second most. Myers is my boy.
Michael. And then that's the thing. Halloween is one that I had seen a bunch, and I don't know why. It was one of those things where I think I talk about this on podcasts all the time, that like it took me forever to even realize that there was the idea that one person was behind several movies.
Sure. Yes.
Like, and the second... Because Big Trouble in Little China is my entree into... I mean, I saw a bunch of his movies when I was a kid, but Big Trouble in Little China is the movie that spoke immediately to my brain.
It was on HBO nonstop.
Yeah, it was on HBO nonstop. It was funny.
Yep.
It had karate. It had Crazy Muscle Guy. It had like everything you want. Kurt Russell,
right.
Like cool.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Yeah, it had Raiden. And
yeah.
It had-
everything a young boy needs growing up.
So for me, that movie hit me right. And then like... As I got older and I learned that that same person did The Thing and The Fog and Halloween, I was like, oh shit, I like all of these movies.
Yeah.
And then and now I find myself to being a huge fan of John Carpenter, like,
yes.
And thinking I'm a huge fan and then going to see him perform live on Halloween. And I'm like, well, I've never seen In the Mouths of Madness or this one. And I'm
right.
Like, okay, I guess this guy, I've been a huge fan of his for however long. And he's got two or three movies I've seen zero times.
Yeah, I mean, his repertoire is deep. But
right.
Also, because he's so good, he's so rewatchable.
Yes.
So like you want to rewatch more than the other ones, I think. And like, especially as I get older, if I'm going to the big three, like Freddy, I can't really watch at all anymore.
Right.
I really do have a hard time with the bitch and the pedophile aspects.
Yeah, right.
And the remake really pushed it hard. Like
the remake recently with the kid from Bad News Bears.
Yes. The old man from
the
Bad
old
News
Bears.
Yeah,
now,
but because they got a scene in that one, it's like Rooney Mara finding photographic evidence of her getting molested.
Oh.
And I was like, well, yeah, man, we were dancing around it in the other ones.
Yeah.
And then because he's a good actor, you make him feel bad that he gets burned by the parents.
Yeah. Jackie Earl something.
Jackie Earl
Johnson. J-E-G. And then Jason, like on the other Friday the 13th, like I think one and two are pretty solid, but then the rest just feel like nostalgia. I've watched them a billion times. But right. because Sean S. Cunningham is like, they're all jobbers.
Right,
like,
right.
They're fucking, they just get the job done directing wise.
Yeah.
and kind of the same with, I think, Wes Craven a lot of time. Like, and, but Carpenter has got a fucking style.
There's a lot going on in the original Halloween that upon a rewatch, you see like, oh, this is not just a slasher movie.
Right.
Like there's some comic elements. The glasses over the fucking sheet look is
he's
like
a, he's
so,
a prankster, baby. Yeah, he loves bits. Michael Myers loves a good bit. He's not going to stop. He stopped. He cut holes out of a sheet, got the glasses just to do a bit on
a guy
on
who
her.
Wears a mask, put on a costume.
Yes. Makes sense in so many layers. Yeah. I could write a graduate thesis on it. But no, I mean, yeah, Halloween was my entry point. Like, yeah. But like when I was a kid too, like the same thing where I don't think I completely was like, oh, here's what the oeuvre of these directors is.
Right, right.
It's just like when I was a kid, I just happened to have like a babysitter whose kid showed me all of the horror movies. And I remember in summer camp, I had this one dude who like probably went to prison eventually, but was my friend in summer camp. And I remember once him being like, yeah, I've seen every horror movie. Just ask me the plot. And he explained them all to me. And then when I finally saw them, I was like, motherfucker was lying. Oh, yeah. So much. I was like, why did Jason do what he does? And it's like, oh, because they desecrated his grave. That's definitely what happened.
That's a weird thing. And I guess it's a little less likely now, I'm assuming, with younger generations because of the internet.
Right.
But kids would straight up be like, oh, you haven't seen this movie yet? And you'd be like, no. It's like, well, this is what happens in it. Yeah. And then when you would eventually see it, be like, that dude was lying.
Weird flex, man.
Yeah, like, and it Jesus. Was. It was about lying that you... I had a friend, my childhood best friend. I guess he's still my best friend. Whenever we talk, back in the day, he used to be like, oh, I saw that movie. And I'd be like, I know he did it. Right. And so I'd be like, oh, what was your favorite part? And like he would start lying. And I'd be like, oh, I saw this movie and this scene doesn't exist. I let you fuck. I gave you the rope.
Nothing better than catching that motherfucker yeah. in a lie, though. Seriously.
It doesn't affect him at all
no.
for some reason.
Right. He'll just continue that lie.
Yeah.
But yeah, but Halloween, and like I was obsessed with going to the video store and staring at the boxes of everything. Like I like had the plots of everything in my mind.
That's our generation's like that's lost on the new generation.
Yeah.
Is like you would rent a movie like Dr. Giggles is one that comes to mind. Is like
yes.
I just saw it at the video store like every time and I was yep. like, I just don't have the balls tonight. Yeah. It looks so scary.
And there were ones that I still didn't have the balls because of the box.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, and then, I love Dario Argento and I hadn't seen Phenomena till very late because I knew I don't like fucking bugs. And I was like, I don't want to deal with Jennifer Connelly covered in maggots. I'm always dealing with maggots in Italian horror films, but this motherfucker I know is going to be nothing but maggots.
The box art was always just like the shit you'd be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one with the guy with the gun on? Oh, yeah.
You and know, there'd be the dream ones that I was talking about, like the porn boxes that would be like banned in 36 countries. So we had like I Spit on Your Grave
yes.
and Cannibal Ferox, aka Make Them Die Slowly. And those ones were huge, like just giant old school porn boxes. And then when I eventually saw this, I was like, these are real rough to watch. Like right. I Spit on Your Grave is not as much of a feminist allegory as some writers want to make it out to be.
Yeah, there is that element to old horror movies where they're like, it's cutting edge, but in an interesting way. And it's like, oh, this is like rape adjacent
yes.
for like 40 minutes.
100%. Like there's just like too many rapes and I Spit on Your Grave. But it's hard because there's a great book, Men, Women, and Chainsaws by Carol Clover, which is where they came up with it. She came up with the idea of the final girl. And it's like a feminist reading of horror films and rape revenge films. And it's an amazing book. I stand behind most of it, but still I'm just like, I don't want to watch Ms. 45 over and over again.
It's fucked up when you watch those old horror movies and it's like, it's fun to see an R-rated movie. It's fun to see random boobs mm-hmm. or a butt or peen in a movie. Peen sure. way less than the others. But when you get the random boobs and you're like, oh, fun. But then it's part of a woman being like murdered
yeah.
or whatever. You're like, well, when you were a kid, it was like any port in the storm.
Right.
It's like, yes, tits. Bummer, she's getting slashed.
Right.
Now, as an adult, you're like, leave the poor girl alone.
My illegal Rolling Stone cable box wasn't consistent with the Spice Channel. So you took what you can get. But there is a validity to like the weird amalgam of sex and violence. Is a weird thing that probably fucked me up at
right.
some point.
Oh, for sure. Because
I watched all these things way too young. Like,
yes.
Like, insanely young and, like...
That was going to be my next question for you, was, like, what was your, like, TV or movie permissive household.
You seem to be
dad
loose.
Dad works all the time and drinks. That's my situation. You're watching whatever you want.
Seem to be pretty loose. And like a lot of it happened at my babysitter's house, like where it seemed definitely she was not caring.
Right, right.
So like my older friend Frank was showing me everything.
That's awesome.
But then also we would watch, you know, like I think I saw Halloween on like ABC first. Because they used to show it, like right. Sunday night movie. And then Christine, I definitely saw Christine first on an ABC Sunday night movie. And they sent me to bed, but I could see through the stairs if I like bent my head down. So I like bent over to watch the whole movie because I was obsessed through,
like,
with Christine.
Upside down and backwards.
Like, but it was also like my first crush was that woman in Christine. I clearly remember.
That's so funny. Yeah. Being a kid and watching a movie like from a distance, like when you're not supposed to, is such a real thing. Yeah.
But Halloween is like the one that stuck.
Like
Halloween was just like Michael Myers gave me nightmares, just like Cobra. Like when I slept. So my bedroom growing up had like, I didn't have any doors that closed. They all were fucked up old doors, which is still an issue I have in my current house. But so I'd have to look into my bathroom and every night I'd have to let my eyes adjust because I thought either Michael Myers was going to be there or the Night Slashers
from Cobra.
That fucking knife. And those are two of my favorite movies. So draw your Freudian analysis of how I live my day to day.
There is something to the fact that your favorite movies as an adult are the movies that kept you up out of fear at night. It's
right.
Like part of you likes it.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like so many lists. I mean, also my therapist of 8 years who I don't have anymore, which really stresses me out because he's in New York. But he would always talk about like, oh, yeah, you love horror movies because your life was horrific and you want to escape.
And then like, watching other people go through even worse.
Yeah, like, well, just, I guess it's not easier that big to deal. It's a roller coaster. You can fucking control that. Like I couldn't control with whatever bullshit was happening in my house.
Right.
And then when I realized the world was just a garbage dump, like at like 10. But yeah, like and but Michael was Michael. I call him on a first name.
That's fine. Hey, I like that.
I'm obsessed with it. Like I remember in college having first time like access to the internet nonstop. My freshman year, I was printing photos of Michael Myers up and just hanging them up next to like hardcore posters and like fucking metal posters. And I was, and in retrospect, I'm like, you know, I hated my freshman year roommate, but I think I was the issue.
Right.
Like, yes, he was a weird Christian born again guy who was also in a frat and obsessed with Germany. But then
guy gets a metalhead slash horror head.
Yes. Like, hey, what's up? I'm also going to be straight edge, so you're going to have no fun. But I was just like weirdly just printing up, like I just found him cleaning up my mom's house. Like I was like, why did I have like Halloween 4 poster on a terrible like GIF?
Because you just see the picture and you're like, oh, I have the ability to get that off the screen and onto my wall.
And
now.
Just like, and I was like, well, I'll save the porn of the drive and then I'll put this other porn on the wall.
College is a cool time for when you have like your toe into a world of taste where you're like, oh, I'm kind of into these comedy shows. And someone's like, oh, do you watch South Park? Oh, have you watched Aqua Teen Hunger for? Oh, all of a sudden, like, you get inundated with like all this new shit, or you're like, oh, I love Halloween. People are like, oh, have you ever seen Last House on the Left?
Exactly.
Like, you just run into another.
It happened with hardcore.
Yes.
Like, where I was like, I was in the Connecticut hardcore scene. I was like, I kind of knew what I knew from Connecticut. And then all of a sudden, you meet someone else from Jersey. Even you're like, oh, here is a billion other bands that's going to change my entire like trajectory of life. Same with horror. This guy down the hall, that new horror, and he had like Fangoria posters on his wall.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, okay, like I guess we're going to talk.
Yeah, we have no choice but to engage.
And then I was also in film school, so I was like, oh, I'm going to analyze Halloween. Now I can write a paper on it.
Now I could dive in. Yes.
But that is when I was like, oh, like all the ones, like I had seen Big Trouble, like I had seen They Live. But then all of a sudden I was like, oh, these are all John Carpenter. And now I'm starting to branch out and then do the like, oh, I've never seen In the Mouth of Madness. I should watch this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this one kind of sucks. Oh, this one's great. But I also think like out of all of them, like that guy's got the best like track record.
Yes, like, he's got a high hit rate.
Every single one is like, it's like Boogie Nights for horror, where I'm just like, I could watch this anytime.
Right,
and
right.
And like Boogie Nights, just like you turn on any scene, I'm like, great, yeah, let's sit for 2 hours.
Wow, yeah, Boogie Nights is a good, I like using that as the titular example in a situation where any point in that movie, you're like, oh, this is a fun scene.
I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. Goodfellas is sort of the same way, yeah, too. You put it on and you're like, oh, I like this part.
Right.
Oh, I like the next part. Oh, fuck, right. There's this movie's like 95% right, killing.
Yeah. No! Yeah. But yeah, and that's how it ended up being like, and then you know, as I kind of kept going down the rabbit hole, it was that like, it's like Carpenter and then Dario Argento were like the ones I just kept going back to, where, yeah, I was like, oh, I love, and the thing with Carpenter is like, I love everything he does. I mean, that's the other part, he's like the full package,
right?
Like, soundtracks, there's just no getting around. Like,
his scoring is fucking,
it's
awesome,
unbelievable. Yeah. Like, yeah, him and Alan Howarth together is unbelievable.
They're so good.
And like, you know, Halloween is a great soundtrack, but it's like kind of like, you know, the Eagles or something, where it's just, or like Billy Joel, where I'm just like, yeah, I know every song. I don't need to listen to it ever.
Right, right, right.
But then there's like Halloween 3, the greatest soundtrack ever. Like, Cherry, really? Of the Pumpkins is like one of the best songs.
Oh, I'll
same with Christine. Christine's soundtrack is kind of up there too. Moochie's Death is one of the best songs Carpenter ever wrote. But that's it. Like, that's, he actually awesome, had riffs.
I love the Assault on Precinct 13.
Assault
soundtrack.
On Precinct 13 is great. And that's why Donald Pleasance did Halloween. It's because his daughter was like, oh, you should check it out. Actually, his music's really interesting. Oh, and then he was like, all right, fine.
Fine, I'll be the only old person in the town, and exactly, I'll have a gun. His character is insane in Halloween. It's like, he shows up, he's comfortable just like walking into places, talking to people, and then at the end, he's got a gun. I'm like,
right, don't worry, I do have a permit. yeah. It's like, kind of. It's a weird piece of paper you pulled out of your ass. I mean, but that is also why, like, when I started writing sketch at UCB, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I guess I'm writing Halloween sketches.
Right.
Like, one of my favorite sketches I wrote was for Mike Still, and it was a Dr. Loomis sketch, and it was just a sketch that was about Dr. Loomis. When it's not Halloween, what does he do? And he's just a fucking annoying guy you temp with because he won't shut the fuck up about Michael Myers.
He's a killing machine.
And I basically just took this speech of like, I met him 8 years ago, there was nothing left, just a blank, pale, expressionless eyes, the darkest eyes, the blackest eyes. I spent 6 years trying to reach him, another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I knew what was behind those eyes was purely evil. Terrible, terrible psychiatrist.
Like, right, right.
There is a great...
I did my best to try to keep him locked up. I met this kid and I said, whoa, yeah, we gotta keep this kid locked
no
up.
No dice, kid.
They are the bane of every hero's existence.
Hero's existence.
The misunderstood masterminds, and more times than not, the most spellbinding characters in film and television. And now they're the subject of a Parcast Network's diabolically new weekly podcast, Villains. From pop culture psychopaths to real-world criminals, Villains journeys deep into the complex origins, motives, and impacts of history's most dastardly bad guys. Delve into the social influences that led to the creation of characters like Joker, Anton Chigurh, Norman Bates. Discover the inspiration behind classic foes Vader, Voldemort, and Zilla. Every Friday, you can unravel the psychological, political, and emotional factors that spawned both real and fictional villains. As seen on the silver screen, ripped from the headlines, and far too good at doing all kinds of bad. So do yourself a favor, fam. Follow the new series Villains, free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, check out Villains. Or you can go to parcast.com/villains to listen now. That's parcast.com/villains.
That Amy Nicholson podcast she did about Halloween is so good because it's like they, at one point they talk to a psychiatry teacher, a professor, and he basically is like, yeah, he didn't do anything. Like, I would have done art therapy. I would have done that. He like lists off the things you could actually tried. Do. Yeah. He's like, he tried nothing. And I'm like, yeah, he's bad. So Halloween is my go-to, like, for most people, but then Halloween 3, which is like Carpenter adjacent,
right,
also is just such a sweet spot for me.
That's Season of the Witch, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm that one of the
That one rules.
I love it so much.
That movie fucking rules.
That's the one that I own, all three of the masks. I have a cheaper Michael Myers mask, but I also have the 2018 mask that I have displayed on a foam head in my house. I always forget the Don Post skull mask glows in the dark. So again, when relatives stay over, sorry, if you're not staring at that, you're staring at my Four Flies on Grey Velvet poster, which my wife hates, and my Rolling Thunder poster, which she doesn't love that much either. And you're surrounded by vinyl records. Yeah, like Halloween 3 is like, I did a show at UCB with Frank Hale, like about called Defending Halloween 3 that we did like a whole like lawyer diatribe, like of all the aspects of why it's great.
That movie is awesome.
If it wasn't Halloween adjacent, if it wasn't labeled Halloween, people would definitely say it's a classic.
Right, right.
It's crazy. It's batshit logic. It's like an Italian horror film. It might as well be a Fulci or Argento film.
Right, right.
But with Carpenter, again, like his music's amazing. He's got the best riffs. Like he actually writes riffs. And as a metalhead, I love riffs. Like even when they are similar, like Christine main theme, Prince of Darkness main theme, they're like one note off.
Right.
But like, I'm still, like, yeah, I see what you did there, man.
Still enjoyable.
Still loving it. Yeah. And then live, he was amazing.
Yes. Live is awesome to see an old man do. And it's funny because I saw him on Halloween 2 years in a row.
Right.
And both times he didn't close with Halloween.
Crazy.
Which we thought was insane. But then we remember hearing that like the songs that you have to try really hard at, he's got to do earlier or else he's gassed.
He's a tired man.
He's
you
an
know?
Old dude. And
which is also what I appreciate about him. And I think you probably do too. He's weirdly, for being an auteur, he's also weirdly lazy.
Yes.
Like he talked, I remember him talking about the Halloween remake, which I hate. Like I could go off for too long about Rob Zombie's remake.
Oh, Rob Zombie's. Yeah.
I hate it so much.
Yeah.
There's so many issues I have with it. No, the 2018 I love. I think it's a great movie.
Oh, I still haven't even seen the
beautiful
that one
movie.
Yet.
Like
oh,
really cool. Amazing stuff going on in that movie.
Oh, cool.
Even little things where I'm like, yeah, get a good mask. Like everyone gets a shit mask. 4 or 5, they look terrible. This one's great. But I remember him saying about the Rob Zombie, they're like, do you care about the remake? And he's like, nah, I don't know. I get sit back and play video games and get a check. And I'm like, yeah, that's the dream.
Well, that was what I thought was really cool is that when he announced, like when Lost Themes came out and his album was dropping, it's like, I read an interview with him where it's like, oh, how'd you get? He's like, well, me and my son Cody play video games together all the time. And then sometimes we go noodle around on the synth. And I'm
We've
like,
got Logic set up.
And I'm like, wait a minute. That's
I bet your sister
awesome.
Gets stoned.
Yes, that's exactly. I'm like, you and your son play video games, then decide to riff synth music and record it.
And it's great.
And like, it's
that's
very
the crazy
enjoyable.
Part.
Yes.
And he's just like, and he's also done other video game stuff. Like I just today for the first time found some soundtrack to a PS2 game that he had done the sequel and it was pretty good.
No, like, of course. Yeah.
And then like he does those random ones like so like but the fact that he's just like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to take 10 years off.
Yeah.
Well, play video games. He almost did the Sonic the Hedgehog movie because he's got a big boner for Sonic for some reason.
Bullet dodged Carpenter.
Yeah, exactly.
Although maybe it wouldn't be a bullet if it was John
Carpenter.
I think
it might have been a dream. I would have been there opening day.
There's something about him too, where he's like sort of openly pissed that he didn't make a bunch of money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, which I kind of appreciate in his reality of just like, you know, like, oh, I'm glad everyone likes the thing now. You know?
Well, that's the other part why I like him. He's so pissy.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, there is a bit where it's just like, do you really like any of your movies? Because there's always a complaint he's got.
Right,
and I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
I relate to you, man. Like, I'm not happy with shit either.
Right, right.
But there is like, and he'll self-sabotage, which I love that shit too.
Of course.
Like Halloween 4, he was going to direct it, but he's like, I want $10 million, which is not even close to even what it made. I think. Right. And he's like, no, Mustafa Akkad fucked me over. I want what I got coming to me.
Right. And, yeah. And he holds these grudges from like how he didn't pop off like he should.
Grudges are great, but and he's the one who earns them. Like he's the one who earns having that grudge.
Right. He doesn't have the money for how much his fingerprint is in modern
100%.
Yeah.
And like not only and
like Scorsese, like we see Scorsese and Quentin Tarantino ripoffs.
Yes.
Like blatantly.
Yes.
I mean, and not even ripoffs. I mean inspired by movies and content that I enjoy.
Right.
But then like you see a lot of Carpenter echoes and
yeah.
he permeated culture, but like he didn't get the fucking
yeah.
financial success which he deserves.
I mean, but
he's a touring musician.
I
now.
Know.
If you had to choose a job to make less money than being a film director.
As a former touring musician, it sucks. It's the worst. When you saw him, did he have the script out for like his, he had like, when I saw him, he had like a script to go along with what he was going to say in between songs.
Oh, that's amazing. I believe
and
that.
And again, with his laziness, like, because like the video was great because it's like the best of whatever yeah, is matching
a,
up.
It's like a 3-minute trailer. Yeah,
and you're like, right, that scene. Oh, that scene.
Right.
But like, I remember he had a script like in a binder and like he like one of the sentences was split by a page. So he's like, anyone ever had a car that they yeah. like, and I'm like, Christine, you're gonna do Christine.
Yeah,
you couldn't remember what we're doing here.
His banter was pretty the one I remember from the show was like, a lot of people say this is my one romantic comedy or my one romance movie, Starman. Bam, bam, bam. You know, just like the way he said, I'm like, what? Who cares?
So weird. Yeah.
That helped jumping off the people inspired by him. That sort of codified for me how much I liked like once I saw You're Next and mm-hmm. The Guest.
Oh, The Guest is great.
Nicholas Wending Refn, yep. whatever that dude's name yep. is, his movies.
Yep.
And like Drive. Mm-hmm. You see those movies and you're like, man, I really like these movies. I love the fucking blue lighting. I love the lighting. I love the synthy stuff. I'm like, where do I know this from?
Yeah.
And then I like look back and like my other favorite directors. Earlier, unbeknownst to me, it wasn't when I wasn't a director head. We were like Michael Mann and yep. John Carpenter, and
100%. It's
like all the people doing exactly that.
Yes, yeah. yeah. I mean, that is the same thing. Like Michael Mann has so much of it. Like constantly, I'm just like, yeah, L.A. movie, baby.
Yeah.
Even Cobra, I was just watching Cobra, and I was like, this is like a Michael Mann beginning. It's like Tony Scott meets Michael Mann. Right. Like everything's in fucking like shades.
Yeah.
I love it.
Everything is just like stoic men doing whatever it takes right. to get whatever it needs to be done.
And it's just like I want to watch Carpenter movies nonstop. I also want to watch fucking Crockett drive around to Crockett's theme.
Yes.
In the first episode over and over.
I could just
so
watch
cool.
a fucking Michael Mann movie that's like, just put Colin Farrell in a speedboat with a synth yeah. track playing. I'll watch it for 40 minutes.
And he tapped into Tangerine Dream too because he knows the score. Michael right. Mann knew the score.
Yeah.
But that is it. Like, I mean, I am also, I can be like, one, for genre film, it's always different to me than watching like a quote unquote real film. Like just because like I can horror films, genre films, exploitation films, I can have more of a like benefit of the doubt to them.
Right.
Where I'm just
right.
like, all right, this scene's whatever. Like,
well,
yeah.
you'd be like, well, of course, this is a sci-fi.
It's
so this
how
doesn't
it works.
Matter as
like,
much.
I'm not yeah. worried that the logic got gunky in fucking yeah, Halloween right. 3. I'm not worried that like, yeah, it's weird that Michael looks at his hand as he's stabbing his sister.
Yeah.
But I know it's because they need to throw blood on her. Like,
right, right.
It's cheap shoot. But music also will make me like a movie more than I mean, I've watched so many movies because of Tangerine Dream.
Oh, same
that
here.
I do not care about the movie.
Oh, 100%. I'm with you.
And Carpenter, like, I've there are definitely scenes where I'm just like, this scene's fine, but with this music, baby.
Right, right, yeah.
Can't get enough of it. And that what happens with Drive, like parts of Drive, I'm just like, ugh, it's a little eye-rolly, but Cliff Martinez did a good job.
Yeah, yeah, that's so funny because it took me seeing it in new movies to be like,
right.
Oh, I love this stuff. Oh, I love Tangerine Dream. Oh, Tangerine Dream also did this movie. Oh, wait, I like, and like you start realizing you're like, holy shit, this is like, I've been preparing. And then now you're like, cause Carpenter gets a little bit hit with the, and Michael Mann gets hit with it too, a little bit of the style over substance.
Sure.
And
fuck it. I love style over substance, especially when it comes to genre and exploitation.
Yes. And that's what I was gonna use it for. Is like, you're talking about a sci-fi movie that's just moody or stylized will be miles more than like a war drama that's
100%.
Moody. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it has extra substance to it, then great.
Right.
On
right.
top of it, then that's the ultimate winners.
Right. Well, that's right. Yeah. The argument is like, oh, it's style over substance. But what if you fucking love the person's style?
Yeah. And that's it. Like Carpenter is like, it's another part that I also love of him is he like, he's loyal in a weird way. Like, yeah, he uses so many of the same people.
Right.
Where it's like, Dean Kundi is an amazing cinematographer, and he does all of his stuff, like, all of the main ones. And then, like, Tommy Lee Wallace was, like, the art director on one, and then is the director of three that he produced. And then, like, even, like, the names were constantly just like, oh, Loomis is named after Nancy Loomis, right, who plays Annie. Like, it's just like, he just...
Oh, shit, I
like,
never put...
Yeah, he's just nonstop taking everyone's name. The Wallace house is because of Tommy Lee Wallace. He is the same actor, so he's like Cronenberg. So right, there's, like, right, that dude that's in The Thing is also in They Live.
Right, right.
And it's always exciting for me. But also, like, that's, like, the one...
Yeah, exactly. No idea what that guy's. Literally on Action Boys, we were like, that, we just did They Live, and we right, were like, yeah, it's the dude from The Thing. Which guy? This guy.
Exactly. I mean, they all should have been in Deadwood. Like, they're all the best character actors.
Yes, yes. Deadwood is perfect for these. Because
that's
guys,
why I love Deadwood. Like, it's everyone you wanted to see. You're just like, Powers Booth, you're the best. Yep. Well, I love Southern Comfort. What a great movie.
Yeah. It was odd. Yeah, Powers Booth is in fucking
Brad Dourif.
I just rewatched all of Deadwood. They fucking stock that
every episode. You're like, he's there. They're there.
The guest stars are people like, and that's the best. That low key one of the best things about watching a 20-year-old show or a 15-year-old show, mm-hmm, that's known for its actors,
yeah,
that you haven't watched yet, and then you watch and you're like, I never really watched 6 Feet Under, but like 2 years ago, my wife and I went through all of it.
Right,
soul crushing in the yep, best way possible. Yep. But also, you're like, well, that's why he's Dexter. That's yeah, why this guy's Peter Krause is in everything.
Exactly.
Like, you watch that one series, you're like, well, it makes sense why even the guest stars come through. You're like, well, this guy had a huge career. Of course, mm-hmm, he was on this show at exactly, some point. Yeah. The Wire did that too. I happen to watch The Wire a little more contemporary time,
sure,
but like, if you go back and watch The Wire now, you'll just see like the beginning of like 40 different guys or gals careers.
It's I just like that I like that he's loyal. I like that he uses the same people. I like that it's like when I was young and finding out bands were friends.
Right.
Like, and I'm just like, oh shit. Like, yeah, like Dean Kundi did this and then he let him do that. And then they worked together on this. And I like that it's like an all in one unit sort of thing.
Well, there's an element for me when it comes to like filmmaking with the way you're discussing, like that reminds me of like comic books, which mm-hmm, was like my thing as a child, where it's like, oh yeah, well, Storm is in the X-Men, but she actually has also teamed up with so-and-so, you know, and it's like
Carpenter's the king of crossover. Yeah,
he really is.
But it's also like, I think that's the crazy part too, is like Carpenter is a lot of style over substance sometimes, but also his style is so clean and not overwhelming to me sometimes, like, and partly because he's always going for a Western.
Yeah.
He wants it to look like a Howard Hawks film.
Right.
He uses those big anamorphic lenses. So yeah, everything has a surprising scope, even though there's driving around Pasadena.
Yeah. Even like, and like the riffs are like, you can argue that they're like spaghetti Western.
100%.
Like they're just digital spaghetti Western riffs.
That's the part too. He's tapping into all the shit that I love anyways. Like, right. I'm obsessed with Italian cinema, right, but not good Italian cinema. Like, I only want to watch exploitation films and like Polizio Tesci films in every giallo that's ever existed. And Argento is my favorite, and I love Goblin so much. And that's, and also I'm like, yeah, of course you listen to Goblin and you then wrote this thing. But he's also, again, such a kind of dick about it where he's like, I don't know, I just shit out that Halloween theme.
Right.
Yeah, I know it's in 5/4 time, whatever. My dad's a jazz musician. He's just so lackadaisical, but he's not. Like, I know he's just like insecure. Secure like I am, but yeah, he's hiding it.
He's just an insecure, sort of like pissed that he didn't pop as uh-huh, much as he should have.
Because he should have. I mean,
yeah,
Big Trouble in Little China, unbelievable.
Let's talk about Big Trouble in Little China, because I think Big Trouble in Little China is like the least of like, because it just doesn't seem as moody as other right, John Carpenter movies.
He apparently
just
didn't do The Golden Child. Because he was like, nah, I got this script. They're basically the same. You just have Eddie Murphy. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
And then, well, I mean, kind of not good luck, but good luck to them.
I've rewatched both of them in the last year, and it's funny. The Golden Child is Eddie Murphy comes out looking good in that despite the movie around
yes,
him.
Yes.
And it's like, the power of Eddie Murphy in that movie right. It just overcomes the entire movie. Where you're
it's
like, oh,
insane.
Thank God. If that was not Eddie Murphy, I mean, even if it was Kurt Russell in Golden Child, I think that would have been a bad movie.
Yeah, would have been pushing it.
But Big Trouble in Little China just hits, you know, it doesn't seem like it's a John Carpenter movie because it's bright.
Yes.
Like, that's like the main thing, because right. like you can see everything. And yeah. it's not moody. It's not that blue light.
Right.
It's more in his like red and orange yep. hue world. And just the idea of that movie just hits me so hard that it's like, it's fantastical. It ends up being sort of like a video game D&D quest at the end, 100%. Where it's like, let's get five people, all different weapons, all yeah. different skill sets to go fight. And now we're like going down an escalator. Like, it ends up
take being a
like,
weird potion yeah. that is unclear what it actually does.
That's one of my favorite parts.
It's just
like,
ayahuasca, right? Yeah, yeah. Because they're just doing ayahuasca.
They're like looking at each other yeah. in the elevator. He's like, I'm feeling good, man. Yeah.
There's the one guy who keeps doing the hand thing yeah. over and over. Salute. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, you're my bro.
I love my favorite part of Big Trouble in China is right in that sequence, so I'm just going to talk about it mm-hmm. now. When that big fish beast comes out
yeah.
and Egg throws the fucking bombs at it and it goes away and he's like, he's gone. And Kurt Russell's like, to where? Like, he's just like, the idea that Egg is like, it's okay now. And it's like, right. wait a minute.
Right.
What an idea for a movie where the protagonist, it's from the sidekick's point of view, more right. or less, like,
which is crazy.
Wang is the hero. We're, yeah. Like,
which
like,
also weirdly is the golden. Like, I guess like I never completely, like he always has to be saved by the woman and the little
right.
kid.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of the hero, but like just cause he can put his hand into the fire at
right,
one point.
Right. And that's like Jack Burton shoots himself unconscious at the beginning right. of combat. Like he's kidnapped immediately. He's got lipstick on for the third act. Like yep. he's got like, I talk about this a lot on all different podcasts, so forgive me if this overlaps, but like modern action heroes are so Stallone and Schwarzenegger were, they had the bad habits that these modern heroes have of like
yes.
too big of ego, can't afford to like lose or look bad in a movie. So, but Stallone and Schwarzenegger were actually that big of like, yeah. I don't think The Rock, Vin Diesel and Statham are that level to the point where, and then you see something like Big Trouble in Little China where Kurt Russell is like, I'll be the idiot, the buffoon. I'll hit on the girl. I might not, it might not work out for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't in the
I
end.
Know,
like,
it's
and
sad.
It's like, and it's like the idea that none of our heroes would like, none of these action movie stars, these big, big leads now would never do a movie.
Oh,
like,
God, no.
When it was like, The Rock is going to reboot Big Trouble. And I was like, he better not be the Kurt Russell part.
Right.
It better be like Wang.
Right.
Eh? Like he's like some sort of.
That's the other part. I mean, yeah. Like sometimes remaking like a Carpenter is like remaking an Argento film where like, I did end up liking the Suspiria remake for what it was. But
right.
I was just like, I'm not watching Suspiria for the plot. I'm watching it specifically for what this crazy maniac of a director did.
Well, that's the problem when you talk style over substance.
And I don't want Tom York over Goblin. That's right, just like, fuck that shit.
I did like the new Suspiria, but as just a moody, beautiful
movie.
That's
its own thing. Yeah, if it wasn't Suspiria, I'd be like, oh yeah, this is better than I thought it was going
right,
to be.
Right, right. But like, the style over substance people who were even saying that this it's okay is like, those are the people that it's the worst to reboot. It's like, the reason Halloween is good is because of John Carpenter, not necessarily because the idea of Michael Myers is just so powerful.
No, yeah. it's like
oh, we got to redo the thing, and it's
right.
like, no,
why?
You don't. Yeah.
Why do that? And it's hard, and I know crazily we're saying that when the thing is just a remake of the thing.
right.
But because Carpenter made it his own thing, he made his own thing. Once yeah. you see the thing, you're just like, well, that's the greatest movie ever. Like,
dude,
what an insane movie. And also, again, the bitterness of Carpenter that he's like, it didn't do well because E.T. came out. I'm like, what?
not a bad life story to be like, I lost a fortune to E.T.
right.
Yeah, at least that movie stuck around.
Right.
The thing is awesome for a lot of reasons, but one of the things I like most about that movie is that it's one of those haunted, moody, like, oh, who's the bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
But then it instantly becomes like, huge crazy creatures as
yes.
well. And it's like
Agatha Christie bottle episode, like, is the greatest thing ever. I mean, right. it's the why out of all the problematic parts of Hateful Eight, I still liked basically The Hateful Eight. Right. I was like, oh, this is an Agatha Christie. Yeah. This is a 10 Little
Indians. Like Agatha Christie. It's like 3.5 hours in one cabin, exactly. And they say the N-word 1,000 times.
Exactly.
Classic
and then
Agatha
they
Christie.
Solve racism by murdering a woman. Good going, Tarantino. Solve that problem. I agree. Like, the thing is, like,
it just does the thing where, like, saying the thing about...
It's really complicated.
It does it well in that you're like... A psychological thriller of, like, who's the bad guy is its own kind of genre. Mm-hmm. And then, like, crazy, monster special effects.
Maybe the best special effects. I mean, like, it's insane the variations that they did.
They all stand alone as completely different, but you can also understand that they come from the same organism in a weird way.
Like, I wanted to be a special effects artist as a child until I realized I have no artistic leanings and can't draw, sculpt, do anything. There's a theme that goes through them all that also allows them to be their own individual.
So they're, like the dog, it's all wild. Sometimes it's like the rib cage opens and bites your hands. Sometimes it's like tentacles come out. Sometimes you're sort of a melted pile of, but like, they're all like, you can understand they're under the same umbrella, but they're also different enough that it's not just like, oh, now he's got blood coming out of his mouth. He's a zombie. Right. Whatever. Yeah. It just does something else. And then I always find that he does such a good job of, I mean, we know there's tons of people working behind the scenes on a movie. So when I say John Carpenter does a great job casting, I just mean his films are the cast of The Thing is just like
so good.
So like the mix of dudes is just so perfect. Yeah. It's like so
Stoney McBoney, fucking the guy that Sam Malone is angry at upstairs, who's like the nerdy guy. Wilford Brimley freaking out halfway through.
It's amazing.
It just keeps going. Every guy, you're like, you're great. You're great at what you did. The guy from L.A. Law, with a nose ring.
Our dude from They Live, Keith David.
Yeah. Keith. I mean, speaking of They Live, what a crazy casting of Rowdy.
It's so weird. Like, we just did this movie last month for Action Boys, so it's fresh in my mind. It's so good. It's so weird to cast Roddy Piper in that movie.
There's not much of a logic. When you like do that research and you're like, he kind of just met him at a WWF event.
Right. But that's
how did you do the jump to be like, he should definitely be the leading man in this crazy anti-capitalism screed.
Right. And it's weird because like, it's never referenced that like a plot of it is that, I guess he doesn't even have a name in the movie, right? No. It's like no name.
He's basically a man with no name. Yeah, it goes as no name.
And like, there's no reference to like, wow, he's big and strong. Like any reference that it had to be a wrestler, that would be the character. Like it's not one thing where it's like, he's surprisingly strong in a scene or like, wow, he doesn't have any charisma.
No,
but there's something
he's
about
up there
him.
With Chuck Norris of no charisma. Yeah. But there is something.
But
about
like
him.
Chuck Norris, there's a way he walks, there's a way he carries himself. And then, I mean, you see the fight and then you're like, oh, well, that's going to look better with Roddy than most actors.
He's actually pretty, I think he's pretty good when is the not speaking sections.
Yes.
Like he's actually, his face is like pretty emphatic. Like,
right.
And like, he's like keeping an eye, like kind of being wary. Like when he actually has to kind of speak, you're like, all right, right. I mean,
right. You are a drug addled CTE destroyed fucking wrestler at this point. Yeah.
But I mean, that's the other part too of Carpenter is that he does have like most of those great 70s directors. Like he's anti shit. Like, it's confusing what his politics are. Like, he probably is more libertarian than I would like if we actually talked.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the biggest thing that's come to my attention after years of being like a huge action movie fan is that like you watch these action movies and they're like, this is what caused the conservative party to be Trump's favorite movie is Bloodsport. And that's like so like you watch these movies and it's always like, well, you know
he
what?
He sees that African fighting and he's like, yeah.
a white guy with a gun can fix this ghetto. And you're like, wait, what? You're like, a lot of people just believe that like.
No, you're right. The cops should have inalienable rights. Let them just do whatever they want. I mean, I've had that discussion with a bunch of my friends, especially like my one friend Berdan about
being a big fan of this kind of stuff and being a big fan of horn exploitation, how do you resolve that in Trump America? Because right. It is, like, especially 70s Italian film, like, I can't stand behind most of it. Like,
right.
And it's hard to be like, well,
you mean like content wise,
right? Like, yeah. and the ideas behind, and like, and it's at one point I could be like, well, it's transgressive. It's right. The art of transgressive cinema. And it's like taking society. And like, at a certain point, you're like, I'm just watching some fucked up shit. Yeah.
This is exploiting specifically the actors.
Yeah. And so it's so hard, but like, I don't know. In some ways I'm like, oh, that's the other plus with Carpenter is he's got some of the least of that. Like,
right.
We're like in all that. Like, I'm just like, but, and again, his track record is so, I just end up like, you know, They Live, Big Trouble in Little China, The Fog, I appreciate.
Escape from
New York is that one. That was a later day one for me. That was definitely one I didn't see in high school somehow.
Yeah, no, that's one of the ones I caught on TNT, yeah. I think like later on in high school, but not like it wasn't part of my, like, Big Trouble in Little China was really the germination yes. of it all. But then you see Escape from New York, you're like, fuck, yep. This movie rules.
Christine, Assault on Precinct 13, all the Halloween related films, like when he's on board. And then also, like, even like when they did those Masters of Horror, like his two shorts are great.
Oh, I never watched those.
Cigarette Burns is worth watching. Like, Cody Carpenter does the theme song. It's a really good theme song. It's like a theme that I love. It's like about this, like, film hunter who like hunts down like
rare vintage, prints.
Yeah. And it's like The Ninth Gate, which I love that movie. Like, oh, weirdly, cool. Like that, like Johnny Depp is a book finder yeah. In the underground world of
yeah,
book.
You're a huge Johnny Depp fan. You keep
I can't
you
get enough of him. You know, I moved to LA, I go to the Viper Room as much as I can. And I've been wearing a lot more scarves and a lot of shitty tattoos and a lot of problematic views on women.
I didn't realize it at the time, but I was just chasing Depp's life, bro. Hey, bro.
RIP River. Have you ever seen, this just reminded me of River Phoenix because I said the Viper Room. Did you ever watch Ghost Adventures?
No.
There's a Ghost Adventures is like these three bros, like Vegas bros who hunt down ghosts. I did on Craig Rowan's old podcast, that TV one he did. There's many crazy episodes, but there's one where they go to the Viper Room and they get River Phoenix's ghost on tape. Yes.
I gotta watch.
And the waitress who has been at the Viper Room for 30 years is like, that's definitely River. That's him. And I'm like, oof, everything is getting rough here. Carpenter has just been like, when I didn't know about quote unquote film, I loved him.
Right. Same.
When I was just a kid. And then as I got older and then I was like, oh, I'm watching all the good films in film school, I still kind of just cared about Carpenter.
Right.
And then again, as you get older and you're like, yeah, I'm watching the main horror films all over again. I still like all the Fridays movies, but again, they're a nostalgia watch. Freddy, I can't hang with at all. And then Michael is just like Michael Myers is just like amazing. And our good friend John Murray from back in the day. I remember him once talking about, like, you know, like we were like trying to decide like why we liked, because he loves Jason Voorhees so much. And he's like, well, I mean, I guess I've got a lot of mommy issues. And I was like, yeah, and I have an evil in me that wants to murder my family. I guess you gravitate towards what you want. But, you know, I do think it like spoke to the weird inclinations of whatever I was dealing with growing
yeah,
up.
Of course.
In the grossest way. Yeah. Welcome to my therapy bills. But again, because it's just so fucking watchable. And then when I'm not watching him, I can listen to his soundtracks.
And they're so... Carpenter, like, it's funny you just mentioned that. I didn't even know I liked Carpenter movies or Scorsese movies. I thought I liked Kurt Russell movies and Robert De Niro movies.
Right.
And then I sort of, because of both Kurt Russell, made me really like John Carpenter. And then John Carpenter made me really like Kurt Russell.
Right.
So then I watched every Kurt Russell, like anything Kurt Russell did was.
So I'm like, I guess I'll watch Dark Blue. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's fine.
Just watch that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very bad.
That's the problem. I have the DVD that I stole from a video store.
I just watched Dark Blue long ago.
That's so the hard part. Like, I was the same where I was like, oh, Kurt Russell, he's just infinitely charming. But like, even Tango and Cash, like, I don't hang with as much as
I like,
well,
because
Tango,
like,
Cash is in my wheelhouse because it's Kurt and Sly.
That's the thing. Like, I love both of
and
those
Jack
men
Palance,
together. I
Tango, know. Cash, I, Tango and Cash.
I think that's why it bums me out, because it doesn't live up to.
It is boring around it. Like,
they go to prison so quick. Yeah. And I'm like, no, let them be Tango and Cash in the street.
It feels like Hobbs.
And does he say Rambo is a fag?
Yeah, cool. I feel like good. He might. Yeah.
Good to know, Stallone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the hardest part of watching 80s and 90s movies is the prevalence of the F word.
Oh, but like, I, we just watched, you might have watched Monster Squad.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Monster Squad specifically has some of the most, like, homophobic. They, like, accused the teacher was, like, fagging out on me. Right. Right? Oh, the teacher's homoing out on me. And it's like, accused the teacher of molesting him. The brother from the Wonder Years is the bully who, right, like, calls fat kid the worst, right, shit. They're taking photos of a high school girl who's, like, getting undressed in front of the window. They all want to see the photos, including Frankenstein, right, played by Tom Noonan, right, the tooth fairy
and
himself.
And then a complicated Holocaust theme you want to, yes, show there.
Yeah, a reveal that maybe I do know monsters.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is, like, at least, like, Carpenter 2, like, as I get older, I'm like, no, I can hang more with it. Versus, like, Monster Squad was one of my favorite movies. I was like, yeah, Stephen King rules. Get me that shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, because that was also with, that also helped with John Carpenter, just reminded me of, is like, I was, Stephen King,
yes,
was so huge for me. Like, I was reading Stephen King like third to fifth grade.
Same.
And so all of a sudden I'm like, oh, there's a movie of Christine. Like, this is amazing. Like, and
I haven't,
like,
seen, I haven't seen books. Christine in a long time.
You should rewatch.
I could go for a
rewatch.
I think
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's really heartfelt. I actually get a little teared up at certain times.
That surprises me less and less.
Yeah, I know. I have issues. We'll say it again, but
Christine and the Fog are the two that I haven't seen in a long time, and then I have not seen In the Mouths of Madness at all. Although I feel like
Sutter Kane, you should watch In the Mouths of Madness.
I feel
you,
like,
you will end up just walking around just going Sutter Kane, who is essentially Stephen King.
These movies, though, like in the Mouths of Madness, I'd be like, I can't believe I've never seen that movie. I love John Carpenter. I'll, right, sit down, I'll put it on, and I'll be 10 minutes in and go, oh, I've seen this movie.
Yeah,
I,
exactly,
just never knew. All these images start coming back to me,
right,
like, for Action Boys recently, we did The Howling, and I was like, I've never seen The Howling. I can't wait to watch it. I'm watching it. I'm like, it feels familiar, but I guess I never saw it. And then the sex scene happens. I'm like, oh, I've seen this movie. Yeah. Oh, I watched this when I was 12. This is burned in my head forever.
I do sometimes think a lot of my movie watching is to realize what were the scenes that got stuck in my brain and ruined me.
Right.
Like, I always thought it was The Howling, but I don't think it's The Howling, that there was some scene in my brain of a woman newscaster who turns into a wolf on air.
That's The Howling.
It
that's
is The Howling.
That's the third,
okay,
act of The Howling. That's the,
okay,
final shot.
I've,
yeah,
never really watched, because it freaked me out so much as a kid.
It's fucked up. It's spooky. Like, that they scene shoot her. The, yeah. Her friend shoots her with a rifle.
Crazy.
On camera.
Crazy. Pretty good idea, though.
Yeah, with silver bullets. Fires a
That's the thing. Like, and I just haven't rewatched because I was like, it kind of sticks with me. And,
yeah,
like, and there's some movie that, like, I remember, again, a poor woman, always a woman, like, yeah, ended up in some house that had all these dolls, and it might have been the movie Dolls, and they all, like, metal jaws, and they're, like, eating her flesh off.
Oh,
and I'm like,
that.
I saw that when I was, like, 8. Oh. Like, again, let me not watch every movie on HBO, Dad and Mom. Like,
oh, but
that TV, Rolling Stones de-scrambler. Like, yeah. Did you have one in your house?
We had an illegal,
the illegal
box.
Scrambler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
yeah, for people who don't know, that's how you got illegal cable. You bought it for the back of Rolling Stone.
Right.
So you get the Spice Channel and be like, are they ever going to show a penis going to a vagina?
No, it's just a lot of, like, long distance boob bouncing. Yeah. Okay, I can get behind this.
A lot of poles in the way, like, yeah, the old UCB theater. What's going on here?
You saying something you watched too young, plus Stephen King, I just always take this opportunity. The shit that burned my head and still I'm still scared of, mm-hmm, is Cat's Eye, the troll that holds Drew Barrymore's, oof, nose closed while she's, yeah, asleep. I think that image gave me claustrophobia.
Uh-huh.
Like, when I start to feel, like, especially if I'm sleeping and, like, the pillow is, like, sort of closing, yeah, my nose, I start, like, fucking panic, anxiety and shit.
I'm not gonna lie to you, Gabrus. On the drive over here, my nose is getting clogged. And I was like, oh, are allergies kicking in? Fucking LA allergies? And I thought of Cat's Eye. Like, I was just like, that fucking troll's murdering me.
Yeah. Like, is it allergies? It's like, the LA allergies, right, will get you as you go to sleep. There's a little troll watching. Take all the Claritin you want, Garlock.
But that's the shit. I mean, that shit, like, I mean, that's also where I'm a crazy person. As a like, especially when I taught sketch, I would use like Carpenter movies and all that shit as reference points somehow for comedy. Right. Like I would always reference, I don't even know how I did it to get to a note on Game, talking about the cigarette section in Cat's Eye where the guy, where it's like, is it James Woods?
Yeah, it's James
trying
Woods
to not smoke cigarettes, so they fucking like have his wife.
Yeah, they like kidnap. They like box. It's like an ARG. Yeah, yeah, right. And it, but it is. It's that's if that's true, then what else is true?
Exactly.
It's like into a.
It's a nice. I use that in Cobra nonstop. So I don't know how I'm teaching sketch, but I did it. Godspeed to every.
Well, to be fair,
person.
You're not teaching that much anymore.
No, I'm not. And everyone I taught has jobs, Marian, so it all worked out.
Marion Cabretti shut you down.
Yeah.
Hey, the zombies. Right.
Fucking zombie squad. That's the bottom line for you, man. That'll do it to you. But as time has gone on, it's just been apparent to me that it's like, oh, Carpenter is just always going to be the presence in my life. And my wife has to deal with that presence.
Yeah, like, my wife's come around to, like, she's been to see him live twice. She likes the movies. Well, she of course liked all the movies growing up, just didn't know like anyone.
But like she never planned on seeing Halloween 3 like 30 times.
Right, no
like,
one
as
has.
We watched it last night and she read a book. She like looked up and goes, huh, that opening font is really shitty looking. I was just like, hey,
relax. I actually enjoy the charm.
Let's just chill out here.
I find it charming at this level. Yeah.
I think it's one of the best opening sequences in a film, but yeah.
Carpenter is getting like, he's getting a little fandom now though, like he's having a resurgence, and I'm hoping that Carpenter ideology and Carpenter themes and motifs and visual styles don't go full Marvel Disney movie, like
it
where just ruins everything
me.
I love.
Like, I think about it too much because like if I'm going like one, it helps music wise because like he was on Sacred Bones,
right,
which is a pretty like respected label, like a bunch of my friends on there. And I was like, oh, you're on a cool label. That's interesting. But then like, there's so much music, like at a certain point, it would be just like with Goblin where I was like, oh, there's only so much John Carpenter music. This bums me out.
Right.
Now there's so many like clones of it that I'm like, I have to like weed through where I'm like, well, I like Perturbator, but I don't love Carpenter Brute as much.
Yeah.
But I like this, but I don't like this.
Like the Midnight. How do I feel about Gunship? You know,
right.
You're like,
and
going
just,
through.
And, yeah. And like, I have to say, I'm like, oh, this one's too dancey. Oh, this one's got too much EDM. But then there is with movies too, because I'm a fucking snob about shit I shouldn't be a snob about. Like, I'll watch every movie when they're, like, influenced by Carpenter and then be like, it's not.
Yeah, like It Follows. You're like, oh, yeah, this was cool. This
but
wasn't
not
a Carpenter movie. Yeah.
And even The Void was the big one. I was like, it's kind of. It's like half. But
which one's The Void?
I think it was kind of a Cthulhu-y, like, old. I don't even remember it because it was, like, just whatever.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Touching the Void, which is the DMT movie.
I mean, that's, yes, exactly. Gaspar Noé totally ripped off Carpenter.
When he had this scene where inside the vagina as the dick comes.
Dude, seen it, been there. Watch Christine again. No, but there's like, I mean, but then there are ones like The Guest where I was just like, this is just a great fucking movie. This is Carpenter meets Terminator, and they're not wrong on that.
Right. It's
and that's the other part too, where again, I get snobby where I'm like, but there are dude, like we used to tour with this band Zombie. And my boy Steve Moore, who also used to, weirdly back in the day, do shit for my comedy shit at UCB. and they were like a Goblin Carpenter band, and he did the soundtrack to The Guest. And
which
it's like
is a
one
great
of my
soundtrack.
Favorite
yeah.
soundtracks. It's
and
so
And those
good.
Guys who did Your Next and The Guest, like those are two fun movies that have the attitude of like, the attitude of a Carpenter movie where it's like, you recognize this as a genre film, but there's one more layer of something interesting. Like Your Next... I forget. I just saw someone label it as like a torture horror movie that never goes the way the torturers wanted to.
Yeah. But that's it. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, I'll also take more Steve Moore. Like I'll take more Zombie. Like that.
Right,
it's the hard part. Like Steve, who also did another early sketch was Gamberling as a dude on the subway who was annoyed because Eugene Cordero was playing the Terminator theme song on saxophone. And no one recognized it. And he's freaking out at them, which is essentially me yelling on this entire podcast. And I had my buddy Steve. I was like, can you just do some like Sanborn style fucking saxophone? It's good to have those reference points. Like for someone to just be like, I like did Lethal Weapon sax, which was like another sketch where it was just a recut of Lethal Weapon with more saxophone.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
I was like, can you just go off like Sandborn? And I got like 5 minutes of just like, bam! Like, this is a dream.
I saw the aforementioned synth band, The Midnight. I saw them when they came to LA at the Novo, and they have like a singer, like a saxophonist who's up, a saxist who's up there, and it really live sax on top of synth music is it's a good time, dude.
Out of all of the regrets I have of being on a musical band, being a band, Steve from Zombie guested on a bunch of our records, but we never had him do a sax solo. And he went to college for fucking sax.
Dude, you could have been like the fucking Lost Boys, dude. And
it would have been a
musclehead, like, shirtless, fucking ponytail, killing it on the sax.
It would be such a dream. Like some fucking, missed opportunities. Yeah. That's just life, isn't it?
This is just random, but former guest of the podcast, comedian Dan St. Germain,
that fucking video.
Had the Lost Boys guy fucking play at his wedding. In a sleeve, and he showed up in a sleeveless shirt.
Me and my wife got married at the Justice of the Peace. That video is the only time I've ever been like, well, we missed opportunities. Should have had a real wedding.
If only we had a real wedding, then we could have had Tony Cavallaro, whatever his name
is. Force my family to deal with this. Gonna do what you gotta do, but guess we'll just love each other a lot. I just think, like, I'm just amazed in some ways that he is so much of a presence in my life at this point.
Well, it is one of those things too, where it's rare that you fall in love with an artist, and then when you watch, like, or listen to, or just seek out more of their stuff, you're like, well, there's some real major misses here. Mm-hmm. And the Carpenter has some misses, but they're still carpentry enough that when you watch it, you're like, well, this is kind of fun at least.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I mean, again, I keep harping it, but like, you watch enough Italian films and you're like, oh, actually, Carpenter has it all set. Right. Like, plot wise, I've seen so many jobs. I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Why is that person doing that? Oh, now they're getting murdered in an elaborate way.
Oh, okay. Why would she drink the broth that the person gave her?
Fine. Yeah. No, now she's swimming in a sea of barbed wire. I don't know why that even is there. And maggots are coming from the ceiling.
You have to regret that decision.
Right. But at the very least, Carpenter liked his actors versus Argento, who literally just was like, I don't care about the actors. They say my lines. I mean, also for me, because I love my wife so much. Like, I always say, like, one of the reasons I always love Carpenter, but also Halloween, is the three women are like, I think my wife is like the mix of all three of them. Watch the triumvirate.
I was going to say, they're your trinity.
They really are. Oh. Like, it's like every aspect of them. I'm just like, I love that and I love that. And oh, there she is. She's my wife. Like,
just Halloween just does it so simply and so perfectly, mm-hmm. where you're like,
have you ever been to the shooting locations?
No, but I saw,
I've been twice already and I've lived here for 4 months.
I was about to say social media wise, I believe the post that said, hey, I, Jeff Garlock, am moving to LA, and hey, here's a picture of me at the Pasadena Myers house. We're maybe a week apart.
It was insane. I mean, I went on
How long were you here before you went to see the Pasadena?
We moved here June 29th. My birthday is July 13th. We were there on July 13th.
2 weeks.
I brought my 2.5-year-old son, my wife, and Nate Smith. We went to see the Myers house. There's an art museum behind it that has art from Halloween.
Oh, cool.
And they had a pop-up shop. And then there is a Indian restaurant that is the hardware store where he steals the mask rope and knives. So we ate there. I took a photo with my Myers mask. And then you can drive to Laurie Strode's house, where the people are very nice and they leave a pumpkin out all year. So you can take a photo fucking holding the pumpkin sitting where she's sitting.
Oh,
and then when I just went, because I'm crazy and made my wife go again 2 days ago.
Tis the season.
Look, I live 9 minutes from there, and there's a great Indian restaurant that's not the one that we went to. There was a little girl who was, I'm guessing, 9 or 10 with her family, and she was wearing a Michael Myers mask, holding a bloody knife, running from location to location. Never seen someone more excited.
That's awesome. Like a young Garlock in training.
It really was. Yeah. I was like, look at that, Harry. That's what's going to be you one day.
It's so funny right now. You see like a young kid who's into like that, and you're like, that's weird. How do you end up getting into something like that?
Right.
And then it takes you 30 seconds to remember how when I was 8, I knew all of Monty Python by heart. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, you know.
My son has already heard like 70s krautrock and fucking, I know he likes doom metal more than he likes grindcore. Like, so it's just like, but he also loves Enya more than anything.
Telling, like dropping your kid off at daycares or like the babysitter and just like, and as a heads up, he likes doom metal more than grindcore. Yes.
Okay. So if you're
and he's allergic to peanuts. Goodbye. Yes.
Lactose intolerant, loves Bell Witch. No ass suck for him.
Yeah, and the woman's like, how do I, what do I do here?
Just put Enya on. Shut up, is his favorite musical artist.
That's awesome. Well, Garlock, thanks for coming on.
Thanks
this
for
is a happy Halloween, sir.
Oh, I'm so happy. It is Halloween.
Enjoy trick-or-treating.
Thank you.
And wow, impeccable timing. The landscapers have arrived. And I'm not, my windows are still open. Anything you want to plug, Garlock?
I don't know. Worst gig ever, my old podcast. Hey.
It's coming in hot now.
This Gardener. Pick up my band, Low Estates record, Covert Cult to Death, and any of the Orchid and Ritual Mess. So you can go to jeffgarlock.com. All my records and stuff are up there.
jeffgarlock.com for all his records. And Jeff, what are you on social media?
At G Garlock. And Twitter and probably that on Instagram.
Yeah. Hit us up on Twitter with your favorite John Carpenter themes, motifs, trivia, whatever you want. I just love when these episodes drop, seeing fans directly react to the shit we were saying. So I'll tag you in the post and then
perfect.
People just respond. And check out
Jeff's, you just have work for me in LA. You got writing gigs. But no, also, I want you to tell me if you like They Live.
Right. Tell me if you like They Live. Get us writing gigs. I'll do sheetrock. I'll sheetrock your basement for you. It's getting dry out here. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.